we'll continue this study. We're talking out of 1 Corinthians 13, the characteristics of love and what that involves. If I were to ask you tonight, in one word, who is God? God is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 both tells us that. That's God is love. He is that. It would be like saying, Brent is male. Can't change that. That's who I am. Well, God is love. That's His character. That's the nature of God. And so knowing that that's the nature of God, that's His character, every single thing that God does comes from His character of love. Comes from that nature. And sometimes we don't think about it because we think of when God brings a judgment on a nation, a people. Did you know that's love? Yeah. Correcting evil. Love does that. And you and I do it too. I mean, when your children get off track, what do you do? Well, maybe I need to rephrase that. What should you do? You correct them. You discipline them. Is it fun? Is it joyful? Hebrews 12 tells us it's not. But why do you do it? You love them. In the church, you got people that don't want to line up with God, people that want to do it their way, people that want to go off into sin. What's going to happen to them if they stay that path? They're going to lose their soul. You know, what would love do? Yeah, love. The only reason that you need to withdraw from somebody publicly is because you love. You're not trying to pay back. You're trying to get them to come back and on the right place. Now, knowing that, and y'all, speak up when you talk to me. I'm getting a little harder of hearing. I already told my wife, okay, I'm going to check out hearing aids. So, there you got it. Because she loves me. No, the highest form of love is what? Give me the highest form. Okay, the sacrificing, the agape love. We don't know about that. We know about human love. We care for people that care for us. You know, we interact with family. We have those kind of loves. And there's nothing wrong with those kind of loves. God's trying to move us over into His character. He's trying to move us into the highest place of love and practice that. Knowing that, agape love is an eternal love. Not only is it the highest form, it's an eternal love, and agape love is a love regardless of who an individual is. Now, do we have trouble with that? Yeah, because guess what we take into consideration? We take in consideration people. People we like, people we don't like. God's trying to say, I'm trying to move you to the highest form of love. And we'll see that here tonight. If you look here at 1 Corinthians 13 right quick. If you and I were to go down verses 4 to the first part of 8, and every time we see love or He speaks of love's character, you put God in there. And look at what we learn, if you just read with me real quick. Verse 4, God is patient. God is kind and is not jealous. God does not brag and is not arrogant. God does not act unbecomingly. God does not seek His own. God is not provoked. God does not take into account a wrong suffered. God does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things. God believes all things. God hopes all things. God endures all things. God never fails. What did you just learn about God? Love? Look at the qualities. Look at the characteristics of the things of God. And because God is love, these characteristics of God, He's trying to get to show you and I that you and I need to move and to work from this. And it's what some of the most difficult things to do. We work too much off of this nice touchy-feely stuff. And we don't work off of the genuine things, what God wants us to do. Come back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to be talking about love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. But I want to show you some things about love before we get there. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Notice what he says. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. How do we know love? Why did he have to word that and put that in here like that? We know love by this. What? He laid down his life for us. And did he do it when you were good and nice and cooperative? You know, I've often wondered in life, we'll never know. It's not one of those that you need to discuss much because there's no answer to it. I've often wondered in life if Barabbas ever encountered Jesus after his death. What would you say? What if what Barabbas would have said to Jesus? A murderer, an insurrectionist, these uprisings. And we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. Barabbas. Anyone else that's horrible, you know, that we look at in time, Adolf Hitler. We know love by this. He laid down his life for Adolf Hitler. What does that tell you about love? It's what, I'm sorry? It's for everyone. Does it have limitations? No. And you know what? Is this natural? No. I mean, when you think of someone that is as horrid of people as we can think of, and Jesus said, love operates that away. It's not feeling. Because if Jesus wouldn't have done it, there would have been nobody make it to heaven. And so that's how we know love. He says at the rest of verse 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought what? What ought we to do? Didn't say you will. What ought we to do? You look at people we've got here. You know, we've got a large number of people that worship with us. Some people are hard to get along with. Some people are hard-headed. Some people just seem to want to like poke you with a stick, you know, try to stir you. Hey, you got all of those. What's he calling us to do? What you love, even the one that needles you. We know love by this. This is where he's trying to call us to. And in one of those elements, Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's what we're looking at. Well, back up with me here in 1 John. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 10. He said, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother." What is obvious? What's obvious? Can you distinctly know who the children of God are and the children of the devil are? Now, he's writing this to the church. Within the church, we've got all sorts of people on different layers, spiritually and in their faith. They're all on these different layers. But apparently we got people in the church that claim to be of God. And John says, let's straighten all this out real quick. You know what's obvious? It is obvious who the children of God are, and it's obvious who the children of the devil are. If a person is not practicing the righteousness of God in their life, who do they belong to? They're the devil. What if a person does not want to love the brotherhood? They don't want to love the brethren. They don't love everyone within the church. Who do they belong to? Let's put some identifiers out. How easy is it to get us within the church? How easy is it for us to have our little cliques and our little, you know, nuances with different ones and we don't care about others? Easy to do, isn't it? You know what? This isn't natural. It's not natural. But then yet John says, here, let's make the identifiers plain. You got to practice what's right in your daily living. Number two, you got to love the brethren. You've got to have a love, and I'll just put it this way so we don't misunderstand. You have to love His church. Every single member, even if Barabbas had been converted to Jesus, those brethren. When Paul was converted, was people skeptical? Absolutely. But you know what? You got to love brethren. What if you were, after Paul was converted, and all of a sudden he shows up here one Lord's Day to worship with you, and a month ago, Paul had your mom and dad taken away and had them killed for being Christians. And now he's sitting right there in your midst. What emotions would that evoke? That's why this love is not an emotion. When we read all those elements in 1 Corinthians 13 a while ago about God being this, that this is what love is, did you know in all of those factors about love, not one of them is an emotion? I mean, if we just take from the start, love is patient. Why does he start there? When you're having to be patient, what's happening? There you go. Yeah, someone's getting on your nerves. Now, could that evoke emotion? But patience doesn't evoke emotions. You have to endure. It's not an emotion. It's an act. Something you act on. Yes, sir. Faith? Okay. Yeah, well, it would be part of it. But he's just talking specifically about the element of love because it's God. This is the character of God. And he's trying to get that character with you and me. So it's obvious the children of God and the children of the devil. Look at verse 14 while we're here. He said, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death." How do you know where you live? What does love prove? What does your love prove? It proves whether or not you're in life, the life of God, or it proves whether or not you're in death. You know, he talks here, he said, we know that we have passed out of death. That word passed, it literally means you've stepped out of it. How do I know I've stepped out of spiritual death? How do I know I'm not separated from God? How do you know? Because you love the brethren. If you don't love all, where do you abide? You abide in death. See, here's your proof of fellowship. It's love. It's not that you feel good about somebody. And it's not that you feel bad about somebody. It's that you sacrifice for somebody, and one of those sacrifices is you don't take into account a wrong that's suffered. Someone does you dirty. So what? Love doesn't take that into account. When you practice love for another brother or sister, for his church, all of them, you know that you've stepped out of death, and now you're in the life of God. If you have some little nuance, if you have some little thing against somebody, if you have some little feeling over here, we'll deal with that in just a little more, just a moment. But if you let that hold you back from talking to them, tell me where you abide. Where does he say you abide? You abide in death. Well, that's a hard one to grasp, isn't it? This thing is big. This thing of love, what we talk so much about, it is huge because it's God. And that's where He's trying to move us to. Look at verse 15 while we're here. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I mean, look at what God speaks through John. If you don't love your brother, sacrificing love, then what do you do? What do you do to them? You hate them. There's not a gray area here. You either love your brother or you hate your brother. If you don't love your brother, all of the church here, Peter even expresses that, love the brotherhood in 1 Peter 2. Love the brotherhood. If you don't love the church, if you don't love your brethren, what does he call you? A murderer. How drastic of a statement is that? You're a murderer? You're a murderer. In the eyes of God, looking at it from His perspective, if God had not loved mankind to send His Son to die for all, then He'd have murdered some people. You and I can't afford not to love. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Was Jesus selective who he died for? The night he was headed to the cross, he was going to be betrayed. What did he do to Judas the betrayer? He washed his feet. Did Jesus know Judas was going to betray him? Oh yeah. He called him. He said it's going to happen. But you know what love doesn't do? Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Jesus knew that night Judas was going to do him dirty. And that night he gets down on his knees and he washes his filthy feet. He did not take into account a wrong suffered, even though he knew He knew. You see how huge love is? You know why we better be getting this down and understanding what we need, what we're called to do? This thing is big. Oh, it's big. It's not just preaching and teaching some little lessons about love. We're talking about God Himself and our relationship to God. That's what all of this discussion is about. So whenever you and I choose to love in every circumstance, and get that down, when you choose to love in every circumstance, you have stepped out of death into life. When you do not choose to love in every circumstance, you've not come out of death yet. And you're still there. You're son of the devil. And so he's trying to show us the magnitude, church, of what we need to do and what we need to be doing. Well, come on down, if you would, to verse 18. Let me show you this one. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Tell me what you learn about love there. Great point. How do we not love? Lip service. How easy is it to tell one another, I love you? Love was never spoken. The love of God is never spoken. The love of God is demonstrated. Let us love not in tongue and word, but in deed and in truth. Love is an action. Deed involves action. Truth involves your motives. It takes both. Whenever you act and you choose to sacrifice for another person, no matter what they've done for you, against you, no matter anything that they've done to anyone else, you've got to act on a deed to sacrifice, and your motive has to be pure. Well, it takes both of those. You know why a lot of us can't do the best for another person to sacrifice for them? Why is it so difficult? Especially if you've been offended. Why is it difficult to get past the offense? Because you choose to hang on to that offense and it holds you back. It is easy. We've got a lot of wonderful people here. There is no doubt about it. We've got a lot of wonderful people. And so many of you exemplify kindness. So many of you are gentle. So many of you forbear. You know what that makes you? Easy to love emotionally. He's not calling us on that level. It's easy for we walk out of here together tonight. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. Oh, let me give you a hug. You know, we give each other and we walk out. But I'll tell you this. Let someone do you dirty and I'll tell you, you won't tell them you love them. I guarantee it. Because you're going to feel the sting and the offense. You're going to feel like you've been betrayed. And you know what you never think about? Sacrificing for them. I'm not going to go help them. You know what they did to me? Did I tell you this stuff is big? You know what? You know you've stepped out of death into the life of God because you're starting to love like God. And you don't take offense at things. But whenever you look at someone and you don't want to do anything to sacrifice for their betterment, to do good, you're losing something big and you're about to lose everything with God. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Right. Right. That's right. Right. That's the truth. Yes. Right. 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 Yeah. Yes, yes. And let me add on to what you just said. Here's where the discernment comes. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. So sometimes, you know what? I'll use your prodigal illustration there. That prodigal, I want what's mine and I'm gone. Here, you can have it and go. The rest is on you. But you know what? When you come to your senses and you come back home, I'll sacrifice for you. Put the ring on. Get the fattened calf. We'll sacrifice. We'll do that. And that's what you're saying. And that's what you've got to do. Love doesn't go along with unrighteousness. And love doesn't just smile in the face of unrighteousness. Sometimes things have to be done to support, to uphold and correct truth. Or keep truth intact. But when we're talking about love here in these verses here, you know, you don't love in words. You don't love in words. A lot of times you'll have couples who come in the wife will say, "He never tells me he loves me." Women want to hear it. Jesus never spoke it. God demonstrates it. If you want to know if someone loves you or not, look at what they do when they sacrifice. Do they show you a sacrifice? Especially when you didn't deserve it. There's God at work in the life of that person. There's the bigness of what all this is about. And so when we begin here and we're looking at love, does not take into account a wrong suffered. How difficult is that to do? How difficult? For some people, it's almost impossible because they don't want to let go of the offense because they're afraid that they're going to get hurt again. And we know the children of God and the children of the devil because the children of God will love. Children of the devil will not love when called upon, when needed. You see, when we talk about love does not take into account a wrong suffered, that phrase, that idea, it comes from an accountant's term. It's like someone writing in a ledger of a bill owed. You know, growing up in my dad's business and TV and appliance business, and I think back on it sometimes, I get thinking, man, what days those were. My dad would go into the home of somebody, he would fix their TV and fix their washer, dryer, refrigerator, stove, whatever it might be, he would fix. Every person that he went into, he had this big metal book that he had and these sheets he would pull out, write their name, dates, service performed, here's what they owe, tear off the sheet, he'd leave it on their counter, and he would leave them. They didn't have to pay for it right then. He did it with everybody. When he got back to the office, or to the shop. At the end of every week, he had this huge, thick ledger, and he'd bring it out. Start opening it up, and he'd take these bills. Here's Alan Walton. Okay, fixed his TV this week. He owes $16.50. And he'd go through every one of them, and he'd write it down in a ledger. At the end of the month, they sent out the bills to everybody. People would come in, and they'd say, I'd like to pay my bill. And so he'd pull out that ledger and zero it out. He kept a ledger of what was owed. Love does not do that. And there are some people within the church that keep a ledger of everything that someone has done against them. And they call it a debt. And they recall it. And a lot of times they may be faking externally, but you get an individual in a situation that brings up the offense, reminds him of the offense that you caused, and now here it comes. And on top of that offense comes another, and you can see them growing more angry as they go. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Ever. Love doesn't do that. Love never does that. Love doesn't have a bookkeeping system. And some people just have these minds that just are magnetized to every wrong ever done. A few years back, there were two families, and sometimes you get called into these situations. That's how you know about them. There was these two families, members of the church. And one family, they were close to each other. One family over here got to where it wouldn't speak to the other family. And so the other family approaches this one and says, why don't you talk to us? What's wrong? They won't talk about it. A few days later in the mail, here comes a letter from the other family. In the letter it said, here is a list of grievances that we have against you. Yeah. I read them. I thought, oh. Now you listen carefully. This family that had grievances, you would think were very godly people. You tell me where they live, in life or death. Yeah, they live in death. And all the time you're coming together as the church, you're coming together to rally around Jesus, the lover of all, and you got grievances. What do you think the Lord's going to do with that? What do you think your relationship to God is at that moment? There is no bookkeeping system in Jesus. Now let me ask y'all a question. This is kind of answers itself. Will somebody in the church wrong you sometime? Oh yeah. And if you're newer in Christ, you might not have been around long enough. Somewhere someone's going to say something or do something, it's going to offend you. And so what do you come face to face with at that moment? There you go. Love them or don't love them. You've got to make a choice. It's not about it feels good, it feels bad. It's what a sacrifice does. And you've got to come to that. And as we go through it, or we're looking at these things, how many people have grievances with one another? How many people have memories of, and they keep that out there? Well, I'm not going to talk to them. I don't want to be around them because you know what they did to me? Love does not take into account a wrong suffered because God doesn't do that. Come over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. You know what God took upon Himself? God took upon Himself this thing that we call covenant. People say, well, covenant's a binding agreement, and it is. But it's a binding agreement that God took upon Himself. In fact, even back in the old covenant, God took upon Himself a binding agreement. And He says, if you look at the end of verse 9. He says, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. I mean, covenant breakers. See, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but always rejoices with truth. And so the reason we have a covenant coming is because they didn't keep the old. You see, that's what made it bad. So God took upon Himself to another covenant. And in that covenant, in this agreement that He's going to make, and it's going to come from God's side, and He's extending, it's like extending a handshake to you. He's saying, will you be part of this with me? Because this is my agreement from love. Look at verse 10. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, I'm going to stop right there. He's quoting out of Jeremiah 31:33. And when he uses the agreement to the house of Israel, this term Israel here is no longer the divided Israel where you have the northern 10 kingdoms called Israel and the two southern kingdoms called Judah. The covenant that God was bringing in through Jesus was going to make one new, bring peace, bring cohesion together. It's going to be His covenant, and it's going to be based on the death of Jesus. Continue on. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What is He going to do with the minds of these people? This would be us. What's He going to do with the minds? Yep. I'm going to write, I'm going to make this thing known. They're going to understand this one in their mind. And what's He going to do in their heart? He's going to write it on their heart. You know why you need it in your mind and heart? The mind is what gives you the understanding. The heart is what you practice. It's going to be in your mind. You're going to understand the things of God a lot better. And now it's in your heart because you're going to walk where God wants you to walk. This is what this covenant's going to do. This is what this covenant is going to be. And then he talks about in this covenant, he said, I'll be their God. They'll be my people. This covenant is what's going to make the relationship. How do we know the children of God and the children of the devil? Ones who practice what's right and ones who love their brother. Well, this is the covenant. It's going to be based on righteousness and understanding righteousness. And it's going to be based on you loving your brother. I'm going to be your God. And you're going to be my people. And so... when did you reach out and grab God's hand? I'll just ask you that. When did you reach out and grab a hold of God's hand, accepting His covenant? When you were baptized into Christ. People say baptism doesn't matter.
Sure.
That's people not being honest with Scripture. When you're baptized into Christ, God was offering you something through Jesus. You and I saw it. and it came upon our minds. We understand now. And I want to do Your will. You are my God. And we are Your people. Verse 11. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me from the greatest to the least of them. If you were born a Jew, you have to learn the Jewish customs. You have to learn all the Jewish days. You have to be taught the Jewish sacrifices. In this covenant, no, you're not going to have to teach people the customs. Because He says at the end of verse 11, For all will know me from the least to the greatest of them. And here's how you will know Him, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. What did He just say about your sins? I remember them no more. Love does not take into account wrong suffered. Can you think of some really bad things in your life that you've done, that you have done, and aren't you glad God didn't keep a ledger? Where would we be? How do you like to get to the end of your life and find out that you go and you stand before God and God says, By the way, I remember back in 1992, you did... I remember their sins no more, from the least to the greatest, from the greatest sinners on the face of the earth to the most hideous people on the face of the earth. What was the guy's name that molested all those children? Many, many years ago. What's that? Dahmer. And that's... Do you know he was converted to Jesus when he was in the prison? How'd you like to have him come in here and worship with you? And God says, and I remember their sins no more. And that's what I'm trying to get. That's what He's trying to get into each one of us. Trying us to get to love and sacrifice, not holding sins against anyone. Let's conclude here real quick. Come over to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at the impact of love. Look at verse 12. He said, So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, chosen of God, did we accept the covenant? God chose you for that. He says, we're holy and beloved. I remember your sins no more. And then He says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Do you see love elements involved in there? Yeah. You know what He asks us to put it on? Put it on in our heart. I'm going to write it in your heart. Put these things in your heart to affect your life. You have the choice to sacrifice or not. Are you going to be compassionate to people? Are you going to be kind to people? Love is patient. Love is kind. Have some humility instead of always trying to be right. You don't have to be right. Sometimes it's okay for others. Humility. Gentleness. Well, sometimes when you got somebody talking in your face, you just want to tear into them like a monkey on a cupcake, don't you? I mean, just... How far would gentleness and patience go right about there? Why do we have to say it? You know what? When you're gentle and patient with people, when they're at you, did you know that's the moment you're choosing to sacrifice? But we don't want to go there. We want to put them in their place. We want to get them to back down. Put on a heart of these things. Verse 13, real quick. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. If you got a complaint against somebody, what do you need to do? What does he say? Forgive. Bear with them. You got a complaint? Take it to the Lord. But above all, you sacrifice on their behalf. Children of God, children of the devil are obvious. You know you've stepped out of death into the life of God because God has to do this with us all the time. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So also. He's trying to get His love in us. And so what we learned tonight, love never takes into account a wrong suffered. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's very difficult because it's not a feeling. Sometimes my feeling's going to go this way and withdraw. But love says, I remember your sins no more. And don't you take their sins against you into account either. They need your help. And a lot of times when people have done you dirty, they've offended you, and you come back and you treat them with the kindness and patience, it'll turn their life around. Because they know what they've done to you. And by treating them with love, you know what you're teaching them? This is the covenant God we have. So you've got to love the church. You've got to love everybody. Because everyone who has been baptized into Christ Jesus, He remembers their sins no more. Yeah, but they're not acting right. Well, love, if we have to love them, sometimes we have to go to our brother and sister and say, hey, you're off base. You need to straighten yourself up. Love would do that. But if they've hurt you, don't let it take in your heart. Look to help. You have questions or comments? It's big stuff. Did I tell you all that? This is big. This is the hardest thing to get into the heart of the church to believe that no matter what, we can't take into account a wrong suffered. And there have been some of you in here, I know, have been done dirty over the years. But so what? I've done the Lord dirty over the years too. And He does not remember those against me. And for that, I'm thankful.